very warm welcome to everyone for this year's 2016 Marathon St. Kirtan Festival, which is really lovely to have it here. Last year we were elsewhere, but we've come back to the manor. We booked it well ahead to be here. Our program today will be a variety of things, all the way up to 2 o'clock when we'll have the feast. So Maharaj will be speaking first. And it's very special because not only is Maharaj our guest, but he was also part of the travelling Sankirtan party. He was based in Manchester with a whole team of devotees, and they did extraordinarily well. So we'll be hearing about that as well. After the class, I'll request Vishwan Mahaprabhu if he will come up and tell us the schedule for the day. Hare Krishna. Two cushions, Anuradha. What happened to them? Do we have those cushions?
Trust me, I'll do it one. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Being welcomed here means I'm a stranger again. Part of the family, you don't have to be welcomed. But anyway, thank you. And then we're going to go to the Shambhala till 1:45, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Gairahana. Also singing the harmonia. Gairahana. Choose any particular verse, but first of all, I guess the real real congratulations to all the devotees who participated in this wonderful effort. 131,000, how many?
340.
That's a real praiseworthy score. And how many devotees participated? Do we have a number? Sukhapta, you have a number?
Yadra Wai is about a thousand.
So I think it's been a long time. I remember someone made this group more Prabhu.
1990.
Coining. Say how many?
It was 1990 with 1 million books when you were GBC.
No, that was Kripa Mahaprabhu coined this phrase, a little from many, as opposed to the regular standard Sankirtan devotees, or Sankirtan devotees who are doing a lot, a few of them are doing a lot, but that's one version, just like Eko Bahunam Vibhadati Kama. Just like for the absolute truth to be complete, there has to be one unlimited one, because there's only room for one unlimited one, but there's lots of room for unlimited number of limited ones, very limited ones. Just in case you don't know, we're the ones who fall into the limited category. And Krishna is the unlimited one. And although it's interesting, we have a religion where you get an unlimited number of unlimited ones as well. In other words, Krishna expands himself into many. But still, he stays one. So similarly, book distribution, in which many devotees are... Doesn't it work without the red flashing in the... If you're a real photographer, you wouldn't need it. You can just set the focus yourself. There's the full-time Sankirtan devotees, we call them, who are coming out all the time, and then the part-time Sankirtan devotees. Everyone's a Sankirtan devotee, at least anyone who belongs to the Sankirtan movement. And of course, Sankirtan is more of a generic terminology. Book distribution is more precise. Sadhana distribution is Sankirtan. Harinam is Sankirtan. Preaching is Sankirtan. If you're awake, Japa is also Sankirtan. but we tend to combine the two, mix the two. The book distribution is Sankirtan. And I remember very clearly, it was still in the Montreal bowling alley, must be sometime around 1973 or 74, when we received this letter from Srila Prabhupada, when he said, I want all of my followers. It was interesting he used the word followers rather than disciples, because every follower was a disciple. And he said, I want all my followers, at least, to learn the art of book distribution and to go out once a week. You can look it up. It must be there. And I think at that time I was a spiritual guy, incense salesman. Somehow I got roped into that. I always got distracted, not by choice, but by someone else's choice, from book distribution to selling incense, then to becoming a temple president, then to becoming a GBC. That's very simple when you're distributing books. There's no surprises as to what's going to happen the next day. Everything's very organized, everything's very structured, no emergency telephone calls, emails. The only surprise every once in a while, at O'Hare Airport, someone sticks a gun in your side and says, don't do that again. But the good thing is that the UK is not like America. And people walk around with guns tucked into their suits or under their suits. And Srila Prabhupada would be extremely proud. Is extremely proud. And it's an extraordinary achievement. When I first saw the video, 100,000 suits. It's really remarkable, and even more remarkable that 1,000 devotees participate, because it shows that we can fulfill what Srila Prabhupada wanted, that all of his followers, and if all of his followers learn the art, because it's real art. Krishna says karma sukoshalam. Koshalam means art. So the art to distribution, how you actually convince someone on the spot to surrender, because that's what it's about. Because when people give you money, they're surrendering. And Srila Prabhupada placed emphasis on that. Of course, they're not necessarily surrendering their lives, but they're certainly making a good step towards that. And what that journey will take, how long that journey will take from the time when they get a book. And of course, because we're a Sankirtan movement, Sankirtan in the broader sense really doesn't mean just book distribution. We shouldn't think that we fulfilled our obligation to just sell the books and people are going to be falling in the door, because as you notice, they're not falling in the door, despite the fact that we sell the books. So there's more to Sankirtan than that. There's finding the people who've got the books, cultivating them, and giving them lots of prasadam, and getting them to chant Hare Krishna. And so it's a process, but it's certainly the first part of the process. You don't have a seed, you can water the ground as much as you like, and you're only going to get weeds. So there's no fruits to be gotten. But this is really planting the seed, so it's the basis. And it's a wonderful tradition that that goes back to when books were first came into existence, or when books were, well, of course in India, I don't know what the tradition was here in the West, but I guess they did copy things by hand. They must have, but before, who was it that invented the press?
Gutenberg.
Before Gutenberg invented the press, and that was when, and the first thing that came off the presses was the Bible. Finally, Christianity got over the fact that the Bible shouldn't be in. But there was a Protestant. There was the Protestants who gave the Bible, because some other denominations didn't think that everyone should have the Bible, especially women, because they didn't have souls at that time. Sort of theological lacking. Even before that time, time when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to South India, he finds a copy of the Brahma Samhita, or at least the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and then someone copies it, and he takes that copy back to Puri. Now that's really book distribution. If all the devotees had to actually copy out by hand every book that you go out and sell, certainly slows down book distribution. But that is the way it happened before, and that explains why in Srimad Bhagavatam it concludes with part of the false stuti saying that if someone takes a, because that's 5,000 years ago, if someone takes a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam and on a golden throne offers it to a Brahmin, then he goes back to Godhead. What to speak of in the Gita Mahatmya, not the Gita Mahatmya that's in the beginning of Prabhupada, the end of Prabhupada's introduction, but it's a longer, it's over 100 verses by Sutta Goswami. And there it talks about giving away, giving one Gita, it talks about giving 100 Gitas also. So that must have been really quite a thing to 100 hand copied versions of the Bhagavad Gita. But it's our tradition, it's our culture. Our culture is giving transcendental knowledge. That's what Krishna consciousness is about. And that's what we do when we go out on book distribution. We give people transcendental knowledge. As Krishna says in the Gita, Higyanina Sadrisham Pavitramin Vidyate, there's nothing to match this. Because with knowledge, people can sever the bonds of illusion, they can understand their own spiritual identity, they can understand that they're not this body, that they're spirit soul. And they can understand so many other things that otherwise, especially as Kali Yuga progresses further and further and further, it's not part of everyday life, it's not part of a secular world, it's not part of education, it's not part of the home, it's not part of anything. They're not going to get it anywhere. Whereas one time, education meant, and the means of education was all scripturally based, was all based on spiritual knowledge, that's no longer there. Whatever the latest technological fad is, education tends to gear to that, Atmahana, and thereby destroy soul, at least destroy people's opportunity for self-realization. I was inspired even last year. I wanted to go out and do a little more. As I mentioned, my book distribution days were always sort of interrupted by other duties or other callings. And although it's by far the most challenging and relishable activity, and I've done everything. Prabhupada said that I've tried everything and there's nothing to match Krishna consciousness, and there's no enjoyment here in the material world. In terms of devotional service, whether it's deity worship or other forms of preaching, being a GBC sannyasi, spiritual guide, other things, and everything has its own rasa, everything has its own unique taste. I have to admit, there may be other things that are more difficult in other ways. Sitting at a desk may not appear difficult, but if you've got a lot of extraordinary things happening at the other end of a computer, a telephone, or the person sitting to you, it can be extremely stressful, and in one way, not as immediately rewarding. At least it doesn't appear to be so. But book distribution has a very unique type of taste, as I mentioned earlier. It's a very regulated activity. Very interestingly, just yesterday, a morning conversation with Srila Prabhupada said that, I'm just paraphrasing, that it's very suitable for Vaishya types. In other words, people who know how to sell something, how to convince somebody that this is what they need. Although, they may not necessarily think that that's what they need. But my experience here was it is increasingly that anyway. And this type of course, there's always an opportunity to sell books. You can sit in a temple behind a book table and you can sell books. You can go door to door. But my sort of trading was on the streets of Montreal, and underground Montreal has more than just streets. A very cold place, extremely cold place. The only colder place I was in Winnipeg. And there's no underground. There it's between everything else, whether it's the shopping places or the or the metro subway or the hotels. Everything is linked by underground heated corridors and designed for book distribution, and you can get lost over there. But that type of street sankirtan and getting on to 67 years old, it's become patently obvious that physically it's not an activity that can be able to do forever. And so I wanted to be able to do it. I could have done it in Hungary, although my English is a little better than my Hungarian, especially when it comes to, they talk very fast. I've taught devotees to speak slower. And they speak very fast. So it's a little more difficult. And I wanted to, and the weather, although the weather turned out to be very good. And anyway, I got in touch with Ananda Chaitanya. We wanted to go together just I figure I can take the last 10 days off, which would be the last 2 weeks, and just go out and do Sankirtan. And of course, he wasn't in tune with the weather in the northeast of the country, but he said, yeah, the best place in the UK is Liverpool. And it's a great place. It really is. Although that hadn't been my past experience, I had difficulty. I had as much difficulty understanding what they were saying as the Hungarians. Somehow, since then, they learned. They learned to speak English. And yeah, they're extremely nice people. Of course, it certainly helps that the Beatles were from there, and we just happen to have lots of chant to be happy. So at least you could show that I, George, John, they got all their inspiration from these books for their music. And but then we sort of expanded the program, see if there were some other devotees who weren't necessarily going to participate in any other full-time engagement and come up there. Last night I found out that news didn't get out broad enough, far enough, which is a shame. So instead of staying in Liverpool, which we couldn't really find a suitable place, or the place it became really expensive, renting an 8-bedroom house. We had a nice one, but just on the 20th, we had to get out the 23rd. So that wasn't very good. So we're based around the Manchester Temple, which was also nice, because I've never been in Manchester this long, actually. 2 weeks. And Manchester, it always rains anyway. So it's always a rainy place, if you know Manchester. But I think we only had one day when it didn't rain, and for some reason we went and didn't look for shelter. So we ended up doing that, and that was very nice. We had a great backup team. Vashanandi actually organized things, and we had a very good backup team for cooking and books and sorting out all other things, including banking. And because I was always so enthralled by our new Leicester temple, especially its potential temple room, that I thought, well, if we make profit, which was a really big if. Because although when I found out about the price of books that you distribute, you really got to be handicapped not to make a profit when books cost this cheap. And Hungary, which by comparatively is an economy that's a half or even less, in other words, there, of the UK, is there, a pound is equivalent to £3 here, say. Our Bhagavad Gita's cost, should we have, sorry, the Bhagavad Gita's cost, cost 2,040, cost £5-6, temple cost. The devotees are selling them for twice that, even more. And that's how much Bhagavad Gita costs. If you go into foils, you don't buy Bhagavad Gita for £5. You don't buy books, hardbound books, for £5. It's something that we were able to do, especially English language, we're able to do because a lot of the world speaks English, and so the books go everywhere because we're through the umpteenth edition of the Bhagavad Gita, and published so many. In one sense, the devotees are really spoiled to value books. If If they were currently selling books out there, they'd be selling our books for five times what we sell them for. But be that as it may, we're blessed with this opulence of being able to sell books at that price. So if we made some profit, then donate the profit to Lester Temple, and surprise, surprise, we made a profit. And that didn't include another Chaitanya, who's like a vacuum cleaner. I mean, not dust, but Lakshmi. And some people came back afterwards and they noticed that their pockets were more than empty. I tell them, don't talk to me, go talk to him. But that's inevitable. Srila Prabhupada, I think after some report the devotee sent him about festivals, he says, yes, that's my program. People should go away from our festivals with their stomachs full of prasadam, their hands full of books, and their pockets empty. So he was doing a good job. And this tax giving is a real blessing, especially for people who had already done it, who really are, you know, they give the Sankirtana. What it means, that people can just punch in a number, dial a telephone number, put in a code and an amount, maximum £10, that's the only drawback, and that gets deducted from their, or it gets added onto their telephone bill, and Vodafone just sends it automatically to whatever that account is, which in this case was ISKCON Leicester. Very handy thing. No one has to take their wallet out. They're not psychologically feeling like they're immediately giving something, especially if their parents are paying the telephone bill. Then, it's